welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Amen. I put it all in his hands. And if you put it all in his hands, that means you must got a lot of trust to know whose hands we're putting it in. Amen? Amen. Good morning, church. I greet you in that name that's above every name. The Bible say every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. I'm excited to be here this morning. To your deacon board, to your transitional committee, to those that co-labor in the gospel with me, to friends, you've already made me welcome. And I had to sit there and think that I got to kind of save a little bit because I got another service to do. But God is good. And all the time. Yes, he is. I'd like to introduce my wife. She's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. My wife of 40 years. Stand up, honey. Dr. Wanda Lewis Campbell. Wherever I go, she go. We are the posse. We are the posse. And I'm grateful that she's just thinking, not Robbie, just to be with me. Because she knows that God has called me to do a great work. And I'm excited about the work. I mean, we've had fun today. Before I start, I want to just tell you a quick story. I'm reminded of a woman who was at the cemetery, and she was crying, and she was really wailing. She was saying, "Why did you have to leave me? Why did you have to leave me? Why did you have to leave me?" And another woman overheard her who was out there. She said, "Honey, I'm sorry for your loss." She said, "Was that your husband?" She said, "No, that was my husband's first wife." You know, laughter is a part of what we are. Laughter is a part of our makeup. And if we can't have fun in here, don't wait till you get outside. You got to have fun in here. You got to praise him while you're in here. Because had it not been from him, where would we be? Amen? Let us pray. Open our eyes to the beauty of your holiness. Open our ears to the message of your word. Open our minds, O Lord, to the challenge of your truth. Open our hearts to the power of your love. Then open our lives to the coming of your spirit, that we may worship you, God, in spirit and in truth. It is preaching time, God, and I need to hear a word from on high, God. Do what you do best. You said your word won't return to you void, God. Radiate your presence in me and through me. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We say amen. 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 Stand on your feet if you can, if you're able. We want to honor God's words if you're able. I'll be reading from Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning at verse 10, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Luke 13, verse 10, King James Version. And it reads thus. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. And he said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorify God. You may be seated. The word of the Lord. Think with me from this passage of thought. Hope for the hurting. Hope for the hurting. Hurt singles out the person sitting next to you. Either they are hurt right now or they will be hurt. The person sitting next to you cannot escape it and you cannot avoid it. At some time or another, we will all get hurt. Making a commitment to Jesus Christ will not exempt you from being hurt. But we don't have to be hurt and hopeless at the same time. You see, hopelessness is the state of being or believing that there is no way out. It is through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ that we all are made whole. How does the church provide hope for the hurting? In a world that at times is pictured to be very, very ugly, a world that is swept by fear and lust, greed and racial tensions can cause one to be depressed every day you wake up. Practically, we are burdened with our inadequacy to meet the needs of the hurting, to overcome the problems of the suffering, and to break the cycle of sickness and death that are the companions and outward signs of our sins against God. Our world is broken, and we are like that nursery rhyme we grew up with called Humpty Dumpty. We have had a great fall, and we are left with the question, can anyone or anything put this world back together again? Just look at the recent events that continue to plague our society. The mass shooting which took place in Virginia Beach, where 12 people were killed by a co-worker. The three U.S. tourists who died of respiratory failure while on vacation at the same resort in the Dominican Republic. The young woman murdered who mistakenly got into the wrong Uber car. The mother who was charged with killing her 23-month-old son in Bridgeton, New Jersey, and then burying his remains in the yard. The missing New York woman whose body was found stuffed in a suitcase and then left on the side of a road in Connecticut. I'm saying, how do we bring hope to the hurting? You see, we are tired of broken promises in relationships, business collaborations that fall through, family relationships that break down, civil intrigue that clutters our community, inadequate and unfulfilled church associations that fall short of inner wholeness and outward unity. The question that we need to ask is, why are we deceiving ourselves about the impact of the church while we huddle in our mega church hideouts or sit in our bedside audio church retreats? I'm talking about church. Hope for the hurting. That's what we're called to do. Church is called to be a beacon of light, beckoning the wayward and the lost to come in, those that are disturbed, those that are depressed, offering them a place to come in and rest. They should be able to come in and meet with us here, sit with us, rest from their weariness. God entrusted us with his word and spirit in order for us to live differently in the world and carry out his mission. There's no way for the church to believe like the church if it suffers from spiritual tiredness. Don't get tired. It says, let us not grow weary while what? Doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we lose not hope. Despite our worst condition, Jesus is still willing and able to raise up a rod of comfort. We must not confuse what looks like a God not showing up with a handkerchief to wipe the tears from our eyes as a God not caring. God knows our hurt, God knows our pain. In this text, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He stops and visits an unnamed synagogue in an unnamed village. We know that it was his custom to go to the synagogues and to teach in the synagogues. However, on this occasion, he does more than just visit the synagogue to teach. Our story is characterized by a disease that is actively affecting women in our country today. Osteoporosis. It occurs when bone loses an excessive amount of their protein and mineral content, particularly calcium. Over time, bone mass and bone strength is decreased. And as a result, bones become fragile and break easily. Even a sneeze or a sudden movement may be enough to break a bone in somebody with severe osteoporosis. Our lesson teaches us that this is not a period in the week where ceremonies are more important than those in need of help, especially those viewed as untouchable and those on the margin of society. I'm reminded of a quote. It says, "The strongest people in the world aren't those most protected. They're the ones that must struggle against adversity and obstacles in surrounding them to survive. They're the strongest. It ain't about me and you. God has blessed us immensely. But there are people that are struggling. So what are we going to do about it?" The church is called to be a beacon of light, to help those that are in need. Let's look at our text. It says, this woman experienced pain in every area of her life. She experienced pain physically, emotionally, financially, and spiritually. Physically, she had to live with the trauma that was always associated with her condition. Emotionally, she had to daily battle burdens of oppression. Financially, she was probably seen as a drain on the economic system. And spiritually, she was seen as a drain on the prayer life of those she loved. Remember, the first century Jews believed that suffering was a result of God's judgment on sin. Therefore, leaders saw healing as a part of the doctor's profession, which would prohibit them from occurring on Sunday. In other words, if you got sick and you got hurt on Sunday, you had to wait to Monday. Now, what sense does that make? Because if you get sick now, trust me, somebody gonna call 911 or 922 or somebody to come to help you and get you where you are. For Jesus, the healing of this woman takes precedence over a religious obligation, even the Sabbath day. Don't get it twisted. I know we're here to praise and worship God, but we also got work to do. We can't neglect the fact that we know that there's somebody sitting right next to you that needs something. I don't know what it is, but God already knows. And sometimes he will use you to be able to speak into those individual lives and give them hope. I'm talking about hope for the hurting. Look at this woman in our story, forced to look back while still moving forward, bent over, forced to look behind her, unable to stand up and upright and in need. She was bound by her condition, oppressed by a spirit that said, "You will always be the way you are." Satan had set her posture. How many of us are focused on our past and find it impossible to look up? A number of us have allowed the enemy to set our posture. We may not be bent over physically, but we are bent over mentally. Believe it or not, there are people right in our own congregation who are suffering and bent over in relationships. Husbands bent over against wives. Wives bent over against husbands. Children again bent over against parents. Churches bent over against each other. And the list continues to go on and on and on. Sometimes hurtful conditions will make people come to church. Let me pause at this moment. What brought you to church today? Are you hurt? Are you slumped and bent over? Well, baby, you're in the right place at the right time. God can fulfill your needs today. You see, the outward circumstances look pretty good, but don't ever be fooled by the external. We all wear a mask. What you see today ain't how you are inside. I'm talking about me. I don't know how you feel. But sometimes how you look good on the outside. But what's happening on the inside? And if Jesus is on the inside, he'll make the outside look good. Let's look at our verse. So how was this woman able to get help? Well, the text says, and when Jesus saw her, stop right there. That's it. Jesus saw her. She was overlooked by people, but not by God. He saw what she was going through. 18 years. This affliction had continued a long time. Suffering has always been a problem which has defied explanation. However, what is needed is not an explanation of why it exists, but a prescription of how to overcome it. See, the cross is the supreme demonstration of this fact. Though yet afflicted, she was regularly in attendance in the worship of God in the synagogues. Even bodily infirmities, unless very grievously, should not keep us from public worship on the Sabbath day. See, we let the least little thing keep us from serving God. I woke up this morning, I have a headache. Well, God understands my head hurts. So I'm just going to watch it on TV. Or I woke up this morning, my children got on my nerve. And I don't want to be in the house with saints when I'm thinking about my children. See, we let the least little thing keep us from coming to this place. And sometimes if we come to this place, oh Lord, we can get release. That's why we go through what we go through. In order to know that we have to depend on him. He said, if I be lifted up from the cross, he said, I'll do the drawing all men unto thee. He'll give you what you stand in need, huh? I'm just talking to myself. Of all the places, the church should always be available to help someone in need. You see, our God is able. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to what? Do exceedingly and abundantly of all we ask or think. So, he saw her. The next part of the verse says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Stop right there. First, he saw her. Now he summons her. See, no matter what your situation is, God knows. He's aware and concerned with your hurt. He called her when she was in her worst condition. See, in spite of your condition, he's willing to call you. He called Paul on the Damascus Road to beat up Christians. He called Zacchaeus to come down out of the sycamore tree. While walking on the Sea of Galilee, he called two fishermen named Simon Peter and Andrew. Where did he call you from? What were you doing when he called you? Whenever Jesus is present, it's no longer business as usual, but business as unusual. Now, how surprised this sister must have been, being summoned by the Lord. He saw her. He called her. The next part of our text says, then he says in the text, And he said to her, "Woman, thou art loose." Stop right there. He saw her. He summons her. Now he spoke to her. Notice here that the crippled state of her condition had been grounded in satanic bondage. Therefore, she had to be released from the diabolical activities at the root of its illness. Jesus was releasing her from her condition. See, he was doing that until those church folk got mad. Because Jesus was healing on the Sabbath day. You see, they were worried about the church bylaws and the Constitution. Those church folk got mad. They got caught up in the wrong thing. Jesus had to shame the leader by pointing out his hypocrisy. Those church people got in the way. How they would untie their animals and care for them on the Sabbath, but would refuse to rejoice when somebody is set free. What kind of people are we dealing with? People got to be able to come to the church to be able to be free, to untie themselves from certain situations. And you getting ugly. Talking about it's supposed to be prayer meeting tonight. Ain't no healing tonight. Supposed to be Bible study tonight. You can't get healed. Who are you to determine when God wants to move in the life of people? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I'm talking about me. This don't happen here. Jesus was trying to explain that she was bound by Satan. Not just a physical condition, but a spiritual condition. And he was only doing what his divine mission is. And in Isaiah 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." That's what God's mission was. He was releasing her from captivity. Loose means to be set free. Another word for loose in the Greek is to be forgiven. We all need to be forgiven from something. All of us in here need to be loose from something. Let's be real. Either you need to be loose from damaged emotions, loose from abusiveness, loose from loneliness, loose from disappointment, loose from stress, loose from dependency, loose financially. Oh yeah, we all need to be loose from something. There are many of us who cling to issues and illnesses due to familiarity because we are told that it's always going to be this way. The reality of it, the Christ that we know who come to set us free, then we are free indeed. You no longer have to walk around bound and tied to your past. You should want to be free today because there is hope for the hurting. So, how did this woman find hope? He saw her. He summons her. And finally, my last point. If you read the text, it says, he laid his hands on her. Stop right there. That means that Jesus touched her. He laid his hands on her. As the daughter of Abraham, she understood what the act of touching really means. We have to understand the deep-rooted symbolism behind him touching her. See, in the Old Testament, there were ceremonies, and many include the laying on of hands. And when the offerer brought the sacrifice to the altar, the priest would lay his hands on the sacrifice to identify with the sacrifice. So y'all ain't shouting. See, I'm going to help you shout. So when the offerer brought the sacrifice to the altar, the priest would lay his hands on the sacrifice to identify with the sacrifice. Think about the story. So this woman is bent over. She can't lift herself up. So when Jesus goes to touch her and lay his hands on her, when he stood up, she stood up. Y'all getting it now? See, Jesus was identifying with this woman. You say to me, well, Reb, it don't say that in the text. But because the woman was bent over, he wouldn't have touched her backside. So when he bent down to touch her, when he stood up, she stood up. That's all it takes. That's why it's called a touch. See, we all need a touch from God. I'm reminded of the men with leprosy. When Jesus came down from the mountain, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And the Bible saying Jesus put forth his hands and touched him. And immediately, that's what our text says too. Immediately, the Bible says that two blind men who followed Jesus crying out saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus said, believe ye I? And they say, yeah, Lord. And he touched their eyes. And their sight was received. See, we need to understand what touching really means. Too often we forget that miracles were a part of the redemptive revelation that Christ brought to men. Through miracles as well as through his preaching and teaching, he brought insight into the very character and the purpose of God. His miracles, therefore, were not merely population or popularity stunts. There were signs assembled. I'm through, but I got to tell you a story. This is a story about an old violin. This violin was put into an auction. So when the auctioneer saw that violin, he said, well, this is the last thing on the list. He said, so I guess we ought to sell it. He said, the violin is scratched, it's marred, it's beat up and scarred. He said, but who would put a bid in for this violin? He said, can I get $1 for this violin? Somebody raised their hand and said, $1. He said, who would give me $2 for this violin? Well, I have $2. Somebody in the back raised their hand and said, $2. He said, who would give me $3 for this violin? Somebody raised their hand in the back, said, $3. He said, can I get four? Can I get four? Can I get any more? After that, he says, $3 going once, $3 going twice. Suddenly, an older guy in the back of the building stood up, made his way to the front of the room. He grabbed that violin from the auctioneer, took out his bow, played the most beautiful melody that everybody ever heard, put the bow down, gave the violin back to the auctioneer, went back and took his seat. That auctioneer looked at that violin with such great surprise. He said, 1,000, 1,000. He said, 2,000, 2,000. He said, no, 3,000, 3,000. Then the people in the audience got mad. They said, wait a minute, wait a minute. How can you take the price of that violin from $3 to $3,000? What makes it worth $3,000 when it was only worth $3 before? The auctioneer said, you see that old man in the back of the room? He said, he's a master violinist. He's the greatest in the world today. He said, the violin ain't worth $3,000, but because it's been touched by the master's hands, it's worth more now than it ever was before. See, it's been touched by the master's hands. See, a touch can make all the difference in the world. A touch can make my worthlessness become valuable. A touch can turn my midnight into middays. A touch can make the crooked places in my life become straight. See, some of us been coming to church day after day, year after year. You got a word, but you need a touch from God. A touch can make all the difference in the world. How do we bring hope for the hurting? We have to be available to be used by God. Oh, yes, he will. He'll use us. He said, where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. How many are excited about what God is doing in this place? Hope for the hurting. Stand on your feet. I'm done. Hope for the hurting. Listen to me. If it was raining outside and I wanted the rain to stop, it wouldn't be nothing I could do because I don't control the rain. But I could open up an umbrella. The umbrella doesn't change my circumstances, but it does change me in the midst of my circumstances. So during the rainy seasons of our life, God opens up an umbrella of grace that covers us. So the wet places are no longer empowering us. There may be somebody here. If you don't have this umbrella of protection, you can come today, give your life. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, he says salvation is yours. He said whosoever. So God is not respective of a person. Is there one that's outside the ark of safety? You come by letter. You come by Christian experience. You may have moved to the area. You found a barbershop. You found a beauty salon. Have you found a launching pad, a church home? Is there one today? We all had to take the same step. We had to step out on faith. You say, well, Rev, I'm still trying to clean myself up. I'm glad you said that. Because if you could have cleaned yourself up, you'd have been clean a long time ago. We don't care how you come. We all had to take that step. Is there one? Come on, choir, sing. The door's open. Is there one? Is there one? Belongs to you. Come on, y'all. My hallelujah. Oh, my hallelujah. Belongs to. You deserve it today. We're talking about hope for the hurting. If you're hurting, oh, yes, you deserve it. Oh, yes, you do.